Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to Communication Workers of America, CWA, Human Rights Hour Power, Justice Field Hour of Talk, Solidarity, and Worker Power right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us home with you, with us on KYOKradio.org. You can listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or our CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for joining us on the CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show this morning. It's about us. That's right. It's about us. Working agreement, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply put, human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal lineup for you this morning with Mykia Jones, Sir Reginald Small, Timmy O'Wiley, Tay Atkins today. So don't you dare change that dial. We'll be talking about the Union Buster of the Week and bringing awareness to Sexual Assault Month. We're also going to be talking about striking for workers' rights, a victory for the Pittsburgh Post Newspaper Guild. We'll also move into dismantling collective bargaining rights. We need to talk about that. And then we'll also talk about our Justice Watch, the human cost of immigration crackdowns. Our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 30 months striking on the picket lines. And yet, while they are striking, they are still churning out the news with facts for you and me. And let's continue to show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/PPG-donate. And I just heard someone shout, when we fight, we win. A trailblazing journalist and Arab American activist by the name of Helen Thomas. In today's Human Rights Spotlight, we honor Helen Thomas, a fearless journalist and Arab American trailblazer of Lebanese descent and a relentless advocate for truth in journalism. Helen Thomas was a pioneer, breaking barriers in an industry that tried to silence women and marginalized voices. Her career as a White House correspondent spanned from President John F. Kennedy to President Barack Obama, making her the first woman to lead the White House Press Corps and the first female officer of the National Press Club. Her sharp questions and unwavering commitment to press freedom made her legendary. She challenged presidents on civil rights, war, and government accountability, never shying away from the hard truths. And Thomas was a vocal critic of U.S. foreign policy, particularly in the Middle East. And she fought for the recognition of Palestinian human rights, a stance that made her both revered and controversial. But Thomas was more than just a journalist. She was a worker fighting against barriers. She fought for women's equal treatment in the press, pushing for more female reporters in the White House Press Corps. Her fight for gender equity mirrors the struggles we face today in the labor movement. And just as CWA fights for equity in the workplace, Thomas fought for equality in journalism, breaking down doors for women in an industry dominated by men. Helen Thomas didn't just challenge media narratives, she also fought against the corporate influence that shapes global policies. She was a vocal critic of the Iraq War and the Bush administration's policies, speaking out against the military-industrial complex and its control over policy decisions. Her work reminds us of the importance of holding corporations accountable and how that fight directly ties into the labor struggle against corporate greed and the fight for workers' rights in industries like telecommunications, airlines, and more. As the first Arab American woman to cover the White House, Thomas opened doors for Middle Eastern representation in media. Her Lebanese heritage made her a rare voice advocating for Middle Eastern issues, especially Palestinian rights. just as Helen Thomas fought for the representation of Arab Americans and marginalized voices, CWA continues to fight for equity, dignity, and fair representation for all workers, regardless of race or background. Helen Thomas's career also serves as a warning about the dangers of silencing truth tellers. In 2010, she was pushed out of journalism for speaking out on Palestinian rights, a stark reminder of the dangerous impact when corporate power silences dissenting voices. Just like the whistleblowers and labor organizers who are often targeted for speaking up, Thomas's fate highlights the need for solidarity in defending press freedom, human rights, and workers' rights, because when one voice is silenced, we all lose. Helen Thomas's legacy speaks directly to CWA's fight for media fairness and workers' rights. Her career reminds us that a free press and a strong labor movement are essential to a just society. As workers and activists, we must challenge the power of corporations and demand accountability, whether in the newsroom or the workplace. And just like Thomas demanded transparency and truth, we continue the fight for justice and equity on the picket lines and in the press rooms. Helen Thomas once said, "We don't go into journalism to be popular. It is our job to seek the truth and put constant pressure on our leaders until we get answers." As unionists, activists, and truth seekers, we must do the same. We must demand transparency in the workplace, fairness in hiring and promotion, freedom of speech and press, because truth is power and labor rights are human rights. This has been CWA Our Power Radio Show's Human Rights Spotlight on Helen Thomas, a journalist who refused to be silent. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay in the fight. CWA Our Power Radio Show, where truth meets action. You are tuned into KYOK Radio 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or on the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Up next, we have Maikia Jones with the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Good morning, Maikia.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, KYOK Radio listeners. Before I get into something like Sexual Assault Awareness Month, I just want to shout out our D9 members for showing up for our farm workers in Delano, California on Monday. We celebrated the Cesar Chavez Day March. So I just want to shout them out for them. Si se puede and mi gente to all of our Latino and Latina brothers, sisters, and siblings in our union family. So
are
again,
you showcasing your bilingualness?
Poquito, you know. Anyway, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, a time to educate, prevent, and support survivors. Sexual violence affects people of all backgrounds and awareness and is key to preventing harm and creating a culture of consent and safety. Recognizing the signs of sexual assault and harassment is super important, and it can happen anywhere. It can happen at work, in social settings, or even in relationships. So some warning signs include unwanted touching or physical advances, repeated inappropriate comments or jokes, pressuring someone for sex or intimate acts, ignoring personal boundaries or consent, and a shift in someone's behavior like fear, anxiety, withdrawal, or discomfort around certain people. And there are a few actions that you can do to prevent sexual assault. And it starts with all of us. So here's what we can do.
No means no. And anything other than enthusiastical yes is a no. Challenge victim blaming. Survivors are never responsible for the harm done to them. Speak up against inappropriate behavior. If you hear something, say something. Silence allows harm to continue. And by all means, educate others. Share knowledge about consent, boundaries, and respectful relationships. Support policies and training, workplaces, unions, and communities. should have clear anti-harassment and training programs. So what do you do if you witness or suspect sexual assault? If someone confides in you, believe them. Your support does matter. Encourage them to seek help. Hotlines, counselors, or legal resources can assist. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673. You can also intervene safely. If you see something happening, assess the situation. If it's safe, interrupt, create a distraction, or get help, and report when necessary. Some situations require action, whether that means workplace reporting, legal steps, or calling authorities. And in closing, I just want to say Sexual Assault Awareness Month isn't just about recognition, it's about action. We all have a role to play in making our communities safer. Educate, speak up, and stand with survivors. If you or someone you know needs help, resources are available. Let's commit to a culture of respect and consent, not just in April, but every day. You're listening to CWA Hour Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM at the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen to us and subscribe to us on every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Up next, we have the Union Buster of the Week. Good morning, Timia.
Good morning, Errol. Good morning, KYOK listeners, and good morning to District 6 as you all stand in solidarity. Just know out here, we are standing in solidarity with you as you all go into negotiations, and I hope that you get everything that your heart desires. So, welcome to another On Fire edition of Union Buster of the Week, where we shine a spotlight on the worst of the worst, corporate giants trying to stomp on workers' rights. And this week, we've got a big one. Drum roll, please. Bethesda Game Studios, the Microsoft-owned powerhouse that's showing us exactly how not to negotiate in good faith. Yeah, you heard me right. Bethesda's about to make history for all the wrong reasons. Let's dive into it. Earlier this year, workers at Bethesda Montreal Studio took a bold step, organizing and forming a union. Why, you may ask? For fair wages, transparency, and just a little respect on the job. Just a little respect. Sound reasonable, right? But instead of recognizing their right to organize, Bethesda whipped out the union busting playbook and went straight for the delay tactics. Here's the rundown. First, they're blocking union reps from fully participating in negotiations, trying to dictate who can actually speak for the workers. Can you believe that? I mean, yeah, we can believe that. Trying to control the conversation like it's a video game quest. Then they're refusing to share vital pay information, like, oh, you know, how much workers should actually be getting paid, including details on bonuses and pay equity. But of course, it's too much to ask for workers to know what they're worth. And of course, the classic corporate stall game, dragging out talks and hoping the workers get frustrated and give up. I know all this for all y'all listeners. Doesn't this sound familiar? It's the corporate playbook 101. Same game, same plays, same old tired games. But here's the good news. CWA Canada is not having it, and we stand with them. And I hope you stand with them too. They filed unfair labor practice complaints, calling out both Bethesda and Microsoft for bad faith bargaining. Carmel Smith, president of CWA Canada, put it perfectly. Bethesda is treating their Canada-based workers like second-class citizens. And we're here to tell Microsoft that just doesn't fly in Canada, and it ain't gonna fly anywhere because we're standing with them. But don't think it's just a local issue. It's bigger than that. This is a fight that's stretching across borders. We're talking about billion-dollar gaming giant trying to crush a workers' movement that's fast on both sides of the border. Workers in the gaming industry are fed up with crunch culture, unfair pay, and lack of job security, and they're fighting back. Microsoft wants to have its cake and eat it too, publicly supporting labor rights while its subsidiaries like Bethesda are pulling dirty tricks behind the scenes. But guess what? Workers are onto them and they're not backing down. Just like in Fallout and Elder Scrolls, there's a reckoning coming. And this time, the heroes aren't the corporate overlords, they're the workers, worker power. So let's give a massive power salute to the Bethesda workers in Montreal. Your fight is our fight, and we see you. Solidarity forever to you all. So that's it for this week's Union Buster of the Week. Please stay tuned, stay strong, and remember, the workers united will never be defeated. Back to you, Errol.
Let me just jump in real quick right here because you know what? Last week, Errol told me that I was talking too much, and I felt like he sabotaged me a couple minutes ago. But I'm gonna let this go. And on top, but to speak to what you were saying, Timmy, they definitely need to pay their workers because as a mom of a 9-year-old, I spend 9 billion, billion, trillion, 50 zillion dollars on Robux, V-Bucks, Among Us bucks, all types of stuff. So I know that you guys can afford to pay your workers because
Absolutely.
they're getting the funds. So pay those.
Absolutely.
They work hard. I
Absolutely.
mean, they send out, and you know what I mean? Like as I game with my kid because he's a gamer. So I play with him just to make sure that he's safe and everything is going the way that it should be online. And the way that they pumping out those updates and new characters and new boards and all of this stuff, pay those people. They deserve it. They
Oh,
work hard.
absolutely. And we're sick of crunch culture. You know, they take away, they crunch down your insurance, your health insurance, they crunch down your pay, then they want to start crunching down your breaks, crunching down your vacation time, your sick time. We're tired of it. People are tired of it. You go to work and everything is much, 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 much. Work, 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 work. Faster, 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 faster. At what point we have to push back. Because they take. They take from our lives. We don't even get a chance to enjoy our families and our children because we're on edge so much doing the work of five people. Technology hasn't been friendly to us.
They talk about it. Talk about doing the work for five people. Talk about
I'm
it.
We might have to have a sit-downers meeting like they did in Flint, Michigan.
Listen, we can talk about it all day.
I
Because
know, right?
we're not doing way back when before technology is the way that it is now. You had five people doing five jobs. And as technology rolled in, it made it easier for one person to do five jobs. So while that person is doing five jobs, yes, you have help from technology, but it's still taking a lot of bandwidth and brain power.
Mental bandwidth, yes.
Exactly. And you're taking the job home with you. Email, you're always accessible by email. You're always accessible by phone. You don't get to break away from work like we used to, because you're taking it home with you. People are burnt out, and it's carrying over into mental health issues. You're seeing kids raising themselves. It's a cultural effect. It's a ripple effect.
You're absolutely correct. You're listening to CWA Our Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. You can listen to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org, on the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Up next, we have Sir Reginald Small. He is back in the spotlight seat this morning. Good morning, Reginald. So glad you joined us.
Good morning, Errol Minor, and good morning to my KYOK radio listeners. Errol, it is good to be back in the spotlight seat this morning. And this morning, we're going to do a little spotlight on District 6, Communications Workers of America. District 6 is currently in bargaining with AT&T. Our contract is set to expire on April 12th. I wanted to give a shout out to the District 6 bargaining team, the District 6 Mobilization Committee, and the District 6 Leadership Vice President, Derek Olsvays. And for every single person who has taken part in bargaining, taken part in mobilization, and in building the mobilization structure. Bargaining, as we know it, is a beast. It requires dedication, sacrifice, and strategic planning. It also requires focus. And did I say sacrifice? While we are sleeping at night, someone is thinking on our behalf about how our lives and our workplaces can be improved through the negotiation process. So the spotlight today goes to all of you, District 6, but all of you who have done the sometimes thankless job of bargaining and mobilizing. You are amazing. And I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing and have done in that bargaining process. Errol, that concludes my spotlight for today. Hats off to District 6 and their efforts in the bargaining and mobilization process.
Thank you so much, Reginald, and stand tall, District 6. You're listening to CWA Hour Power on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Today, we're highlighting an inspiring victory for workers that serves as a stark reminder of why the fight for labor rights is more crucial than ever.
Reginald, you're on
Reggie, I
mute.
think Reggie, you on mute.
That's right, Errol. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Modern technology can be a challenge. But Errol, I'm glad you mentioned this. We're talking about the incredible efforts of the Newspaper Guild of Pittsburgh. After nearly 2.5 years on the picket line, these workers who have been fighting to restore their health care benefits have just secured a major legal victory. A federal court has ordered the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette to restore the workers' health care benefits through a rare federal injunction. But this victory, of
And
course, as we know it, did not come easy. These workers were up against a company that not only illegally tore up their contract, but also bargained in bad faith and broke federal labor laws. Despite this, the workers have stood strong, knowing that their fight was justified. As News Guild CWA President John Schluss said, whatever it takes.
that's exactly why it's going to take. What it's going to take to win for workers everywhere, standing up against the powerful corporations and the politicians that support them. This court victory is a direct challenge to the anti-union forces to strip away our rights. We see this all too often, especially under the current administration, which is dismantling crucial protections for workers.
That's right, Tamia. And recently, we saw significant damage to institutions that protect working people, like the National Labor Relations Board, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and the National Labor Relations Act. These bodies were supposed to be safeguarded against unfair practices, but again, recently, they've become tools to undermine union rights, job securities, and workers' abilities to organize.
And you know what, Tay? This is why we can't afford to let up. The fight for workers' rights continues, especially as I don't know, especially as we keep seeing this chipping away of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in the workplace. And these rollbacks of these essential protections, it's just a clear sign that we have to keep organizing, we have to keep fighting, and we have to keep pushing for accountability.
And this Pittsburgh victory shows that the fight is far from over. The Post-Gazette workers aren't just fighting for their health care. They're fighting, which they shouldn't have to. My God, they're fighting for their right, the rights of all workers to have a fair shot at health care, fair wages, and a secure workplace. This is about showing corporations that they can't just ignore labor laws and treat workers like disposable parts. And that's why we need to keep pushing for stronger protections for workers, especially for marginalized groups who are often the first to face discrimination in the workplace. From the union halls to the picket lines, we have to stand united and demand justice. Whether it's healthcare, job security, or the right to organize, we must keep fighting for our rights and the rights of future generations.
Tamia, you're absolutely right. And that's why it's crucial to continue to take action. These wins, like the one in Pittsburgh, are not just about one workplace. They actually send a message to all employers that workers absolutely have power. We need to make sure that this momentum keeps building and that we don't allow anyone to turn the clock backwards on labor rights.
And if you want to support the workers, no, let me say that again. We need to support the workers and we need to keep the pressure on. So make sure you go and sign the petition telling Postal Gazette it's time to do right by their workers. We've got a long road ahead, but together we can make sure workers win, because when workers win, we all win.
You're absolutely correct. When workers win, we all win. And that's it for today's segment. Keep fighting, keep organizing, and keep showing up. Your work, your rights are worth the fight. You are listening to CWA Our Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM in the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org. This or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, or Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. All right, you guys know what it is. When we fight, we win. It's now. I have been feeling and I have been seeing the steam rising up on the stove. It is now time for Tea with Tay, Dismantling Collective Bargaining Rights. Good morning, Tay.
Good morning, and good morning, KYOK listeners and my union family. And I will tell you, the tea is so hot, we had to get a temperature check this morning. So what we will be talking about is the recent actions and the recent changes. So we've been talking about for weeks the attacks, but labor is under attack. We are under attack. What do you think dismantling collective bargaining rights for public sector workers is? This isn't a politic thing at all. This is about power. Once again, someone wants to show they have power. It's about silencing workers, making it hard to negotiate for fair wages, benefits, and gutting the very protections that keep working people from being exploited. Now, why would that be under attack? Negotiating fair wages and benefits. We say so often we shouldn't even be doing these things, but this is what is on the line at this time. This fight isn't new. This fight is something we've gone through plenty of times before. The government has tried to weaken unions before, but we continue to show that we're strong. Let's talk about history for a second. In 1935, the National Labor Relations Act granted private sector workers the legal right to unionize, but public workers had to fight even longer. It wasn't until 1962 that President John F. Kennedy signed an executive order, 10-9-8-8, which provided limited bargain rights to federal employees. Even then, the states resisted. Now let's fast forward to 2011. Wisconsin passed Act 10, gutting collective bargaining for public employees. Wages fell, health benefits were slashed, and thousands of teachers and public workers left their jobs. Now in 2025, history is repeating itself. Recently, there are some policy changes that are seeking to roll back these hard-fought gains, just as it did in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Texas. We are going backwards. We are going backwards. We are gutting away victories and basically putting us back out to fight for the same things when this should be a progressive fight. CWA, we are going to continue to fight against these attacks. The Communication Workers of America have made it clear. These policies and these changes aimed to silence public sectors and unions are illegal and they are unacceptable. And we will not be quiet about it. Union busting efforts, whether at Amazon, Starbucks, or within the federal government, will not be unchecked. We will talk about them, we will highlight them, and we will show up. This should matter to you. Public sector workers aren't just government employees. There are firefighters who rush into danger to save lives, the nurses who work long shifts to care for our families, public transit workers who keep cities moving, teachers who educate the next generation. If their bargaining power is taken away, we lose, they lose. Wages for essential workers, higher health care costs for everyone. Less job security leads to staffing shortages in schools, hospitals, emergency services. This is a trickle-down attack. This isn't just a public sector effect. Although they shouldn't be under attack either, we need to educate ourselves on what this actually means. If they weaken public sector unions today, private sector workers will be next. There are real stories behind this. Jessica, a teacher in Iowa, before they took away our collective, she, Jessica in Iowa said, before they took away our collective bargaining rights, we had fair contract job securities. Now, my salary is stagnant. My health care costs have doubled, and my colleagues are leaving in abundance. David, a firefighter in Wisconsin, we fought for better mental health support and hazard pay. When Act 10 passed, these protections disappeared. Now we're overworked, underpaid, and stretched too thin. These are not just policies on paper. They affect real people, real families, real communities. These are the people who protect you as well. So if they are affected, that leaves us limited protection. Learn how these policies impact the workers in your state. You need to get informed. Instead of saying, no, this doesn't affect me or this doesn't affect anyone, I know you need to get informed because believe it or not, it touches a lot closer than a lot of people think. We need to mobilize. It's okay to talk about it, but we need to start showing up a lot more at these rallies, union meetings, protests. We need to be there. Contact your legislators. Demand they protect bargaining rights. Those people you put there, you tell them to protect our bargaining rights. Support pro-labor candidates. Elections matter. General elections, they matter. But all elections matter. We need leaders who stand with workers, not against them. They want us divided because they know when we stand together, we win. When we stand together, we are stronger. We've shown what people power looks like. And that's what we need to show again. They cannot divide us. We will not allow them to divide us. They want to silence us because they know our voices are powerful. They want us to be afraid because they know our movement is unstoppable. I need us to remember that an attack on one is an attack on all. And family, it is time to show up for each other. So this is just not about dismantling our collective bargaining rights. This is about showing power. Someone wants to show power. And before I pass it back to Errol, I want to remind us, we can flex too, y'all. We got a little power too, y'all. It's time for us to come together and show exactly what we can do. So like I said, we did a temperature check. I'm gonna pass it back to Errol. Thank y'all.
All right, thank you so much, Tay. And I just really wish, and I just don't know. I can't wait until
I can't wait to live. I can't wait till we go live because
I can't wait until we go live and see these. Yes, that's right, Timmy. These shenanigans that
one
go
thing about all this behind the scenes is they going shenan and again. That's all I'm gonna say.
We have an honored guest with us this morning, and by the name of Jason.
Oh gosh.
My Lord. You're listening to CWA Hour Power Radio Show on KYOK 1140 AM in the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on KYOKradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on KYOKradio.org or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour Power on your favorite podcast player. CWA Hour Power Radio Show speaks truth to power and brings labor, human rights, and social justice issues to the forefront. Today, we're talking about the human cost of immigration crackdowns. It's a story that reminds us that policy isn't just about politics. It's about people. We want to emphasize the harmful effects or the impact it has and bring attention to the real stories behind it. Tay, could you please provide us with the background information on this case so we can better understand its significance?
Yes, I can. So Errol, you're talking about Gladys and Nelson, a Colombian couple who had lived in the US for years. They followed all the rules, checked in with immigration officials annually since 2018, tried to live their lives. But this year, when they went for their check-in, they were detained, shuffled through detention centers in California, Arizona, and Louisiana for 3 weeks. And ultimately, they were deported. And get this, the Department of Homeland Security lost their passport, which delayed their deportation. Deportation. I'm so sorry,
y'all. That's just outrageous. We're talking about a government agency that has all the resources it needs, but somehow they lose someone's passports. Can we make that make sense? And because of a 1996 law, Gladys and Nelson can't return to the U.S. for at least 10 years. Their daughters, who are still here, are devastated, but they're raising money to help their parents rebuild their lives in Colombia and to fight for legal representation. For me, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but 1996 was what, 30 years ago now? That's a, like, come on.
Okay, now, wait a minute. That's getting, I mean, I was 30.
We got to do better. But go ahead. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut, whatever.
Go ahead, Makia.
I was born in the 90s, and when you started saying over 30 years ago, I had to think about my age for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe this is exactly why we need to connect labor rights and immigration rights. Like, let's be clear. Crackdowns like this don't just target undocumented immigrants. They make life harder for entire communities, including legal residents and even U.S. citizens who are racially profiled. If you're a minority in America, a Black or brown one, let's just be clear, you're at risk of getting caught up in the crosshairs of these policies, whether you have papers or not. And that's my issue. It's like they're detaining people that are citizens. Like, you can't just roll up on somebody just because they're a person of color and detain them. But go ahead, Reginald, my bad.
Yeah, and to call the name again, Gladys and Nelson, they're not the only ones that this is has impacted. They've just actually made headline news, and it's really a very terrible story. It's one that we think that people are doing, or they thought they were doing the right thing by going and doing their reporting as they should, and then all of a sudden they're arrested. I mean, this has to, I mean, we really should be and could be, ought to be doing much better than that. But then we also have our own, some of our own SEIU union members that were actually snatched off the street with ICE. They were both lawfully, two people in particular, who were both lawfully residing in the United States. One was a graduate at Tufts University and a member of local SEIU Local 6, Local 509, and she was targeted because of a difference in her thought process. She wrote an op-ed in a student newspaper. So I mean, it's turning into something bigger than immigration reform. People are being targeted for differences in opinion and differences in the thought process. So I mean, and also it makes me wonder when I look at this, is this, you know, when we're shipping people off to these centers and detention facilities, is this a larger problem? Is this one of these for-profit systems, sort of like privatization of the prison system? Is this something else like that, where there's we need to follow the dollar, see where the contracts are going? I just wonder that. That's something that we need to think about as we approach this immigration so-called reform.
And then a lot of times it goes back to a few shows ago. It's just like it's collateral damage. They don't
It's
care.
human trafficking to me. I'm just saying.
Say again, Makia.
It sound a little bit like human trafficking to me. How you just gonna be
Now
kidnapping them, taking
you
people,
have a
moving them
very good
around,
point there.
and shuffling them around and whatnot, and losing their paperwork and all of this stuff? How, like, that's, I mean.
Makia, I never thought about it like that, but you just, wow, that was a aha moment, as Oprah likes to
Yes,
say.
yes. And then on top of that, you got to think about all of the children that are flying back over to the United States after they have been split from their parents. Who's watching them? Who's taking care of them?
With no paperwork, this is what I'm saying.
Yes.
There's no way to keep track of these people. And you know what? I don't want to get on I don't want to get on that soapbox, but I'm gonna have to, because what people don't like to identify is that a huge part of slavery was the human trafficking part and the sex trafficking part, where they took these people and they did whatever they wanted to and didn't document things the way that they should have. You know, now obviously this is way back then and everything wasn't documented properly, but you know, there were ledgers and there were, paperwork and stuff like that, where they would have you sign your name or whatever, and you would go into the slave trade and it would mark you to whatever your owner was in XYZ. But then there was also a separate part where they would just literally take people and traffic people for whatever they wanted to do. And for me, I just think that we already had such a huge issue just globally with human trafficking. So the fact that they're just taking people and ripping families apart, taking children from their parents and everything that they've ever known and ripping them apart and just putting them places is crazy. Like, it's not regional. There's no type of, rhyme or reason or direction or plan or layout to, okay, so if I, you know, if I, if these people, if we find these immigrants in California, then we'll put them in a detention center in California. No, they finding people in California and shipping them off to Florida. It's not making sense to me. Or they're shipping them off to New York. Or they find them in Texas and now they're in Chicago. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry, Reginald. I see you're trying to say something.
Well, no, you're making good sense, but I think we have a bigger problem here, because in the court of public opinion here, the average person, if you walked up to a person on the street and brought these subjects up, either they don't know, or they'll tell you that, this particular administration is actually getting bad people out of our country. That's what the answer you would get. And if you listen to certain news media and news streams, that is what you're hearing, that bad people are being removed. And so the average person has no issue with bad people, the murderers, killers, and all these as they're described, gang members. I think what I'm hearing most on mainstream media is Venezuelan gang members being sent away. But what they're not hearing is that this is a whole net, a dragnet full of people that probably shouldn't be caught up in this, who actually think that they're contributing to society, and I think they're contributing to society as well. And it brings a bigger conversation, a larger conversation about immigration and immigration reform. I don't think there is a dispute that there needs to be some type of reform there, but due process still has its place in democracy. We need to look at what due process is for these people, and you can't just round up people and categorize them all because they have a tattoo or that they don't look like what you want mainstream America to look like now, and you just get rid of them. That's not going to work.
And I'm glad you said
Right.
that. And I'm hop right in here too, because when you said earlier, you said that they're rounding up gang members and stuff. Now let me tell you something. I read an article recently that said that one of the markers or identifiers, they said, of said gang members are going to be a Michael Jordan tattoo or an Air Jordan logo or even wearing Air Jordan sneakers. Now, before the show started today, we had a whole conversation about Air Jordan sneakers. Okay, Air Jordan sneakers are literally the most popular sneaker in the history of the world right now, right? So you mean to tell me that if you see a Latino person or a black or brown person wearing Air Jordan sneakers, you're gonna just decide that they're just a gang member and ship them off to another country in another prison system for profit? Like let's talk about that too. Like if you're gonna deport people, okay, send them back to where they came from. If you're deporting people because they're in the Venezuelan gang, why are you sending them to, I don't remember the real name of the place, it's escaping me, but you can't send them to a Madagascar in prison where they're gonna pay you to house them, or you're gonna pay them to house them there. Something about that doesn't sound legal to me, that you can just decide that, hey, he has on a pair of Jordans and he has a Jordan tattoo and he's wearing a Michael Jordan jersey because he could just be a super fan or a stan. But he's Venezuelan, so we're going to send him over here to Quito, Ecuador in this prison. And then we're going to pay the people over there to keep him over there instead of putting him in jail here or sending him back to Venezuela.
It's almost just like the back in the 1980s, the stop and frisk that happened in New York. It, that's what it that's what it really sounds like. And let's just really be honest about it, that the immigration policies have been weaponized for political gain. That's the big picture right there. I mean, it's for marginalized, it's an attack, a systemic attack on marginalized groups. Well, and that's what we're seeing right now. It's an attack on everybody. And we're no stranger to systemic attacks on union busting, on racial profiling, or even these mass deportation. It's just a direct attack on human rights and labor rights. That's what we're seeing. When immigrants workers are detained and deported, it weakens the labor movement as a whole, and it
It
creates
does.
a workforce that is more vulnerable to exploitation and abuse. And if you want to just take a look at it right now, let's even go, because the children are about to be abused in Florida, because you see that they're working on allowing 14-year-olds to work overnight.
And that's horrible.
Yeah, but
But they
we
won't admit it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. What I was just gonna say is we talk about all the things that are happening, but it's just a repeat of history. So these things are not new things that actually happen. So Cesar Chavez, we just had Cesar Chavez Day. Let's talk about the United Farm Workers who fought against exploitation of immigration labor. So the Wetback mass deportation campaign, which disproportionately harmed Latino communities, but it benefited corporations because they relied on cheap labor at the time. So the same pattern all over again. All of
We
these
just
things
had it.
are simply history repeating themselves.
I
And we just
agree with
had a
you, Tay.
show, remember, we just had a show maybe what, 3 weeks ago, where we tried to shine a spotlight on our farm workers. Do you guys remember that? We literally just had this show because they're so, as when it comes to labor, people literally just glaze right over our agricultural workers. That's all I'm gonna say. And that makes them a target because nobody is looking at them. People don't realize that the very people that are literally giving us sustenance and helping us sustain our lives every day with food and agriculture are overlooked. Nobody cares. Everybody acts like they just don't exist for some reason. But you don't, but where are your grapes and your berries and your strawberries and your avocados and your tomatoes and all that stuff coming from? Where's it? You're not growing it and you're not picking it.
And I don't know
Exactly.
about y'all, but have y'all noticed avocados have gone up to $10 now for a
No, I
bag?
haven't noticed.
I bought some the other day and they were $10.
I'll
Oh my
never,
goodness.
if I had to pay $10, I'll never eat another one. But let me go back to what something Tay said about revisiting history, because you get my attention if you talk history. But we're living in a society, picture this, where you plain clothes people can walk up and grab abduct people off the street in common view. That's not new people. That sounds like when I first heard that, people are walking up, grabbing people off the street without really, I mean, any answer to it. You don't know whether you're being kidnapped by something legitimate or arrested or whatever. That sounds almost like it's taking me back to 1940s Germany or something. What,
I was
where it's okay to do that and we say nothing,
gonna
that
say
then we justify it and say that it's part of removing bad people, or
that.
I mean, what is this?
But then on top of that, not only are you getting abducted and kidnapped in broad daylight by plainclothes people, again, technically, based on us as activists, they can say that, like, you know what I mean? Like they can do that to us too. It's like it's an attack on not just your freedom to be here and be part of this country. It's attack on your freedom of speech. It's attack on all of your constitutional rights. It's attack on just humanity in general. You can't come to me and say, oh, well, because you said that you support this cause or you don't support that cause, that you're an enemy or basically of the country. So now you deserve to be d deported. Like, really?
You used a
And these
real key
are
word there.
students, like, you know what I mean? Like, these are college students, these are children. I mean, it's like but it's definitely given Germany. It's definitely given blue eyes, blonde hair
It's given
only.
Third Reich.
What?
You might as well just say it.
But you use the key word there, Maikia. You use humanity. I think that is the key. We're not looking at this. We're not looking at these people or the people who are doing this, who are making this movement, are not seeing these people as flesh and blood, as humans, which has been a problem that we've had over history, that we're not seeing people as actually human with beating hearts, that actually we possess rights to be treated with dignity and respect, even on subject matters that we disagree upon.
But my whole thing is, how do I say this? How do you get to decide, right, what's agreeable or not? Let's just say that, right? Like, which causes are we able to agree or disagree on? You know what I mean? Like, how do you gauge and say, okay, so because you support this cause, you can get deported, but if you support this one, then it's okay. You know what I mean? It's like, if you support, let me just now again, this is just an example, guys. Don't take this too seriously. But if you support Toyota, you got to get out. But if you support Tesla, you can stay. And that's all I'm gonna.
So what can we do? What can we do? First, we need to support organizations that fight for immigrants' rights, like United We Dream, the National Immigration Law Center, and the ACLU. Second, we need to integrate immigration rights into our labor platforms, push for policies that protect all workers, no matter their status. And if you or someone you know has an immigration issue, don't go to check-ins alone. Always consult a lawyer and have a plan. The reality is, this could happen to anyone in these communities, and preparation is the key. And with that, we're wrapping up this segment. Stay informed, stay engaged, and remember, our power is in our unity. This is CWA Our Power Radio Show this morning. You are listening to the Communication Workers of America. You can always listen to us right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Pacific on kyokradio.org. Or the CWA Strong app or your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Well, as we come down to the final minutes of the show, CWA Local 3641 in Charlotte, North Carolina. What a time, what a time. We held our gender justice training this week. And what can I say? What can't I say? The conversations were powerful, from challenging whether patriarchy brings order or just reinforces oppression, to deep diving into how these systems limit opportunities and sustain inequalities. We're pushing boundaries and breaking barriers. Patriarchy doesn't bring order, it creates a system of control and oppression. True progress means dismantling these structures and building a world where equity is the foundation. A huge thank you to the entire CWA Local 3641 team and Jala Evans for the incredible hospitality and for making sure these essential training classes are happening. And I just got a text this morning asking, when's the next class? The momentum is real, and let's keep it moving. And for all those locals who haven't responded to these trainings invites yet, check your emails, texts, and calls. It's time to get on the schedule. And don't forget, environmental justice training is coming up soon. So local presidents, let's get those dates locked in. Let's keep pushing forward. April may bring showers, but it is also brings awareness. Arab American History Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Take action and learn more today. When you take time to learn about others around you, you're making the world a better place. Awareness campaigns serve as a powerful reminder that there are steps we all must take in looking out for loved ones, the people in our community, and those who have been impacted. It's time to take one big step together and make a change. An hour is not long enough to be with you, and a week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Our Power broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights to effect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in your quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow, like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on KYOK, 1140 a.m. and the all-new 106.5 FM, kyokradio.org. See you next week.